Okay, this is the extra podcasty bit, and it is Drew Mitchell, Gus Wallen, and Jude Bolt, and we're talking about the greatest scallywags, or the characters, I suppose, of all sports in Australia, Jude, off the back of James Maloney, one of the real characters that hung up the boots this week.
I think that, you know, scallywags for me, they're what make footy clubs and footy teams. I think that's what can be, it feels like a big business at times when you're playing at elite level, and Drew would know, just they're, the scallywags are the ones that make the days just flow on, and you look forward to just going away as a team. Like, I played with one of the great scallywags in Shane Mumford, and Sugar Shane Mumford. We had footy trips together, and, you know, he was just outrageous. But across the AFL scene, I mean, some of the famous ones were Dane Swan. Dane Swan used to go back. They had to, used to train after the MCG and have to go back to the Collingwood Football Club and train right after, just get on the bike. And he'd go with the Powerade bottle with half vodka, like pretty much the whole thing. So he's sitting there sipping, getting hydrated. It was half and half, basically. But then Brendan Favola's very famous from pretty much his efforts at the Brownlow, where he was doing all the rogue vox pops, and he was doing the pressure points on Chris Judd, you know, different holds and stuff like that. So we played with some scale. Who did you play alongside?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's been so many characters, you know, throughout that. Just like you say, just make the environment day in, day out just so much better, especially when we've got those long tours over to South Africa or Europe or the UK, and just to make the plane trips a little better. And always just like the pranksters that, you know, it's really hard to sort of narrow down. But if someone like Tom Carter, he's probably not the biggest name, but also a lot of people from outside, you know, New South Wales didn't like the guy. But when you play, and same for me, I played with him in early days when I was 18 for the Australian Sevens, really liked him. Went and played against him Super Rugby, hated him, but then come back to the Waratahs and really loved him. And it's because of those little things that he does. But
Tom's a legend. I've known him.
He's a great guy, right?
But
he's the ultimate team man. But from the outside, he looks like he's an absolute pest. But just little things as well, like when you're on a flight and all you want to do is get your laptop out or get your electronics out and all that sort of thing. And because over there, when we travel, we use those little zip ties, so you can't undo your zipper bags when they go on the conveyor belt. Well, Tommy would pocket a plenty of those in his pocket, but then when you put your bags up in the overhead baggage holder, he'd go around when boys just start to lay their seat back and go and zip up all their backpacks. So their back, you couldn't get out their laptops, they couldn't get out their headphones, they couldn't get out anything for the next 14 hours while we're on a flight. And then of course, you know, you're filthy at whoever did it because you're asleep at the time, but then you go to grab your backpack as you get off, and you've just learnt that Tommy Carter's, he's zipped 10 backpacks together. So you pull yours out and another 9 backpacks come with it. So little things like that, whilst it's really annoying at the back end of a long trip and you're battling jet lag, those types of characters are absolutely necessary in a team environment.
I played with one guy, Lewis Jetta, who was just finished up with the Swans and went over great player. West Coast. He was a ripper. But, I mean, he would hide in those bins full of footies for like literally 30, 40 minutes until someone
for
came
the moment.
Out. Just for the moment. And everyone knew it was queued up. Yeah. But then suddenly there's someone just jumping out, But he also used to do the sticky tape on doorways. And it didn't matter whether it was coaches, staff, anyone. He would just lay waiting just to set the trap.
So much patience.
But you're like, just focus on footy, mate. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I love it.
Well, I was going to ask both of you guys, do you get away with it a little bit more but if you're good?
You know, like
you're talking about James Maloney, and we spoke about it during the show, that he's a winner. Everywhere he's gone, he's had success. He won nearly everywhere, I think, except the Warriors, but they made a grand final. But the thing is, he got away with it because he was quality. He's playing for Australia, so you sort of allow the senior player to get away with it.
You carry on with that shit if you're a fringe player and you're out the back door. Don't worry, there's a lot of leg rope. There's 100-foot leg rope when you're a bit of a, you know, you've got a bit of talent.
Yeah, I mean, it's also having that capacity to know when to switch on and to switch off. And like you say with Jetta, like you'd sit there, you're sitting here thinking, just concentrate on the footy. But that's sometimes what makes these players great as well, by having that sort of capacity to switch off and have that fun. And it's also probably what it distracts them a little bit, because, you know, a lot of players overthink things too much when they're outside of the game. When they get in there, they're like, it's all too much. So little things like that, being a scallywag and pranking teammates and having a laugh and creating a laugh, can sometimes make those players better.
It's so true. Like, there's the particularly in the rooms before a game or in the sheds, it's just that feeling of just breaking the ice a bit and having those fun moments, that suddenly you get switched on even more. So really powerful thing, the mental side of things.
What about Merv Hughes? Remember that in the cricket? Like he used to get the suck on his finger and stick it in Alan Border, who was obviously Captain Cranky.
Not COVID
safe at all, but he'd lick and he'd pat you on the ass and all that sort of stuff. It just sort of broke up what I imagine on the cricket field was a very tense moment. And then sort of the guy that's probably is not as talented as others breaks through and just through guts and determination. So Merv was that guy for the Australian cricket team.
Yeah, absolutely. As a young fellow, I was living down in Victoria and Dad took us to the cricket one day and I was obviously really young, but watching Merv in the outer and doing the stretches and having everyone behind him in the stadium, like mimicking his actions was just fantastic. And you think, now that I'm older, you think, how can someone like in the arena whilst the game's actually happening allow himself to kind of be distracted and do that? But again, just to
imagine he dropped the catch in that moment. Well, yeah, he must just be entertaining. It's
great. Just be supremely confident in his skills and also his ability to go, okay, when the guy's running in for his bowl, it's time to switch on, stop stretching and go again. So
that's the thing about cricket, right? Like it's a moment. Mm. You know, the ball is bowled, the batsman does whatever he does, the fielder does what he does, and then it's peace for 30 seconds or so, and then we're onto it again and it's obviously repeated and repeated. That was probably the way that Merv, I don't know if you know Merv, but I've known Merv quite well for the last sort of 10 years or so. Like he finds it really hard to concentrate. So for him, that would have been the way for him to go, right, I just can't wait to have a bit of fun with the crowd again. That probably switched him on for that moment he needed to be.
But it shows, like we're looking at Justin Langer and all the talk around, you know, micromanaging and being too intense. There's some
that old school way of coaching.
Exactly. There's got to be those elements where you're bringing in some enjoyment to the game, but also when we're on, we're on. So it's the best coaches find that balance. And you see the likes of Clarkson and Bellamy and those sort of guys. They find light versus shade at different stages.
For you guys in all your career playing at the elite level for so long, having those different characters in the team, is that the thing that sort of keeps you sane when you're, you know, obviously on tour probably more than if you're at home?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not just sane, but also the team as well. I think that in terms of like the team having a pulse, you need those types of players. You need the serious ones, but you also need the guys that bring that fun and laughter as well, just to be able to just break it up. Because ultimately, you've got to remind yourself sometimes that it is a game. We're playing it because we love it. We started because we really enjoyed it and we got a lot of enjoyment and fun out of it. And sometimes through this professional landscape that we find ourselves in, you can kind of get lost in that, and you can kind of, it becomes more of a job than anything else. So sometimes having those scallywags and those pranksters and the guys that create the laughs is what's really needed for a team, just to go, hang on a minute, we're about to go out and enjoy a really big moment in our lives. Let's make sure that we actually do go out and enjoy it, not just sit there and overplay it and just get bunkered down in the seriousness of it all.
We used to have like the fines master as well. So all the little pranks that or silly things that went on, you'd get fined. And I was most fined lots of times. I actually lived with the fines master, Matty Nix at the stage, who's actually coach of the Adelaide Crows. And one day the boys were doing a swim at the SFS, the pool there, and they found a human turd at the bottom of the pool. It was floating It was a proper.
Oh.
And so you can imagine the guys with their head down and then suddenly like racing out of the water going, get out of the pool, evacuate.
Yeah.
So we actually find the high performance swim coach at that stage. And we find him. But the way that the fines master did it, said, Matty Nix goes, we've got a live cross here. And he goes, sends up. And there he was. He's thrown over to himself and he's done a piece to camera where he's got the goggles on. He goes, I'm going down just to check on what was found during. He comes back up and he had a Chiquito bone. <his mouth. laughs>
What sort of fines? What would you be fined and what would you be fined for? Like something that's really simple for someone, you know, like me, who's a fan. What's it? Because we look at you blokes and we think you're not like normal human beings that are having mucking around like we are at club footy, but you are. You're just doing it at a different level.
I remember Leo Barry. When first Sushi Train started to come around and really popular, he hadn't been there before. And he I remember him taking the plates out of there and he actually took them home with him. Like he actually walked home with a stack of those little small plates. So
what would he be fined for
five
for
bucks.
Instance?
It's 5 bucks.
Oh, only 5 bucks.
Yeah, yeah. But at a cruise. And then also we'd have the chocolate wheel. Like and so you could spin and either double your fine or get someone to wash your car or triple the fines, things like that.
Yeah, but ours were more of a court session. So after a tour or whatever, we'd sit down in a court session. It was more, the fines were more along the lines of having a drink.
Who ran the kangaroo court?
Nathan Sharp was really good. Justin Harrison. A lot of the a lot of the bigger guys, actually, now that I think of it. But look, there was different categories as well, like the Louis Armstrong or the David Campese Award for blowing your own trumpet. So anyone who was talking themselves up in the media or anything like that, like they'd get fined. And just little things as well, like turning up late or not having the little mascot if you're the youngest on tour, all those types of things. But nothing was ever missed.
Yeah, it's they're ruthless.
And where does the money go? So it goes into a pot, and that's Mad Mondays or your trips to Vegas.
Oh, it wouldn't go far in Vegas. it was just we'll find a time to celebrate together and have a drink. It's good fun.
Well, I think it's great. And thanks for the insight, boys. We very much appreciate it. That is that little extra bit from the Dead Set Legends. Please listen to us live on 104.9 Triple M between 10 and 12 on a Saturday. And we'll talk to you next week.